So, I don't particularly love our topic this morning. Have you ever heard anyone say that? I don't. If I had my choice, well, I did. I still wouldn't skip it. Forgiveness. It's a tough topic for us Christians. It's a tough topic for humans. Why? Because there's so many layers, and there's exceptions to it, and there's exceptions to exceptions, or at least we built them in, and pretty soon we're left at a loss as to what to do, how to deal with people, how to move on ourselves. But for Christians, when it comes to forgiveness, Jesus is very clear. There is no exception or condition on forgiveness. I think no exception or condition is great for topics like love and joy. Okay, I can go along with that. I can easily get behind that. But unexceptional, unconditional forgiveness? That's a whole nother question. I don't post on Facebook anymore. But a few years ago when I did, I raised this question. Which is easier? Being unconditionally forgiven or needing to unconditionally forgive? And the answers I got varied, but there was one common thread. Both are really hard, but both bring blessing. And as I think about the topic of forgiveness, I can't help thinking of this wonderful parable in Matthew 18 as we deal with the second consecutive message in our study of this chapter this morning. In my mind, Jesus is saying forgiveness is in fact a two-way street. Forgive everyone just as the Lord has forgiven you. Can we say that softly together? Forgive everyone just as the Lord has forgiven you. One more time. Forgive everyone just as the Lord has forgiven you. And if we think about it that way, just maybe Jesus' instructions are a little easier to grasp, even if they're really hard to practice. We must forgive the same way God forgives us, as Colossians 3:13 cites. No exceptions, no conditions. So let's go deeper with Peter's question. How often do I do it? Forgive a brother or sister who sins against me. And Peter goes on to name the figure seven times. Jesus says, no, that's nice, seven times. But 77 times is what you should do. And some translations, of course, list 70 times 7 as a number, which, if you're keeping score, totals, how many times, any math majors? 490 times. Wow. It seems an impossible amount to forgive someone the same transgressions, 1, 2, 3 times, but 7 times, 77 times, 490 times? I mean, my head's already starting to spin. You know, we've all heard the phrase, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, what's next? Shame on me. And yet, here are the words of Jesus in his ministry with the disciples talking to the crowds, demonstrating the kingdom of heaven and God's unexceptional, unconditional forgiveness. 490 times and beyond must be how we deal with each other on earth, because that's how much God has forgiven us, and that's how he'll deal with us later based on the way we forgave others. I think we could all share stories of different grudges or guilt or burdens we've held against other people, stories of how much they've hurt us, stories of why. I don't know if you've done this. I have. why I'm the exception and don't have to do it. But you know, I think some of the hardest forgiveness can also be within ourselves, too. It's so easy to beat ourselves up, right? Note amidst our sinful nature, God still loves us. We're forgiven. Our sins have been washed away. They don't even exist or matter anymore because of what Jesus has done. And it seems to me, forgiveness in our hearts must work the same way. To note somebody's wrongs, whether it's towards us or other people, they don't exist or matter because of what God has done for us through Christ. And He somehow will make ours and everyone else's burden light through the process of forgiveness. Now, that's much different from it going completely away, the grudge or the guilt or the struggle. But it's not going to weigh us down if we're practicing true Christian forgiveness. So forgiveness also doesn't mean, in my mind, biblically, everything is solved, right? But it does mean we feel the peace from God who so richly loves all people. And therefore, we and others in our grievances, in our grudges, in our guilt, can find God's grace and glory and move on. Indeed, as God forgives us and as we deal with each other, forgiveness must be a two-way street. So remember the first servant in the parable? He's got it made, right? He owes a whole bunch of money. 10,000 bags of gold, Jesus says, which, by the way, equals, most scholars believe, anywhere from $12 million to $1 billion. And that servant, we have to believe, Jesus names, is doing well and well taken care of because of the master's care. And as in the time of masters and slaves, which people could identify with so easily because it was the norm, this slave is not only well taken care of, but taking from his master, except he's not giving it back. And the master's got no problem with it. I mean, there's a lot there, right? I was thinking about if somebody took all my technology and I wasn't able to function maybe the same way, would I be forgiving of that burglar? Or would I think, God, you have a different way that you want me to work now? I'd like to tell you it's the second way, but friends, likely it would be the first. And I think we all could name examples of where we feel tripped up by other people. But God says, you owe everything to me. I'm in charge, not you. Well, the master shows mercy when this servant begs for mercy. And it's a unique forgiveness indeed. In those days, friends, consider this. Slaves were thrown in jail or at least sold to other plantations, families separated, all sorts of bad happening because debt was not paid to their master. And so this slave just can't see their way out of an insurmountable debt they owe. And they fall to their knees, begging for relief. Be patient, please, and I'll pay it back. I can just imagine the scene Jesus paints, and it strikes an all too familiar chord. I can really imagine the other servant's frustration when somebody who they see as a schemer is forgiven over and over again, somebody who milks the system for all it's worth, taking full advantage of the master's kindness. It's tough to consider those realities being part of our day, but sadly, they're all around us, aren't they? And they even happen to the church. People take advantage of us. But sadly, sometimes people in churches take advantage of others. And also, there's people who have long-standing pent-up frustrations against other people, who everything they do tends to set somebody, either themselves or others, off. So it's not just the material things that we owe people and that we have a tough time with. It's the emotional stuff. What if they never existed or mattered, those differences, emotionally or physically? For Christians, what do we do with all this? I think of people who just seem to show no mercy, people who are always pointing out others' wrongs, and I consider, how am I as a Christian? Am I willing to take ownership for things I've done, forgiving others as God forgave me and still does? Something further about this servant Jesus uses in this parable, who's automatically forgiven by the master and then demands a very minimum amount he's owed back from someone else. In fact, he chokes him over 100 denarii. 100, which was one day's wages for a worker in those days. And just so you know, 100 denarii totaled today from $1 to $30. Some scholars believe the portion of what the unmerciful servant was owed was 1/600th of what he owed the master. So, how do we feel when, friends, we see unmerciful people, ungrateful people, people we just don't think are ever gonna appreciate that we've forgiven them, or that they've been forgiven, or that they need to be forgiven, that they feel entitled somehow, people who just don't earn or deserve anything at all? Oh, wait, especially with that last one, that's all of us, isn't it, at times? I just saw the movie 12 Angry Men a few weeks ago, and 12 jurors are locked in a room deliberating over a potential murderer's fate. And initially, only one juror votes not guilty. And pretty soon, the argument turns to out and out blood-boiling screaming, and there's a lot of blood-boiling screaming that balloons into it. And the argument, well, it's no longer an argument. It's just a brawl. And yet Jesus says, how do I deal with those people? How might I find a joy in forgiving anyone who is against me? How might I deal with other people? How might I handle people who don't agree with me? Conversations somehow snowball, friends, into a wrong being named or at least thought about, and we hold this opinion. How could you think this way? And worse, I'm gonna hold this against you. You feel this way, and I just don't understand and won't accept it or you. Debt of all kinds. But friends, if we forgive as the Lord forgave us, then it doesn't exist or matter what people think. It doesn't. It matters how we treat them. And therefore, we can work together on an ever-widening circle of love and forgiveness. And we can show the mercy and grace for each other in all circumstances. The great grace God has given for us is pure and beautiful, unexceptional and unconditional. Just like the unmerciful servant, how can we expect someone to have grace for us if we can't have that grace for them, just as God has extended that pure grace to us? Like it or not, friends, forgiveness is in fact a two-way street. So, as we walk with God and Jesus and interact with all his children, his people, his chosen, are we modeling the idea Jesus forgives everyone? Sins are gone. Hence, that's why Jesus died on the cross. And are we carrying such an attitude as we live and love and are the church? Are we doing it as we deal with our sisters and brothers here at church who may hold different positions or who may have done something we didn't agree with at times or hurt us? I pray it doesn't happen much, if at all, but if it would ever, are we modeling Jesus' forgiveness? In our lives out there, when other people do things we shouldn't, family members, other friends, are we modeling Jesus' forgiveness? Are we modeling Jesus' call to everyone everywhere to forgive as the Lord forgives us as we consider and respond to all the different acts of violence nationally over decades and centuries, which seem to never end, even internationally as well? Is forgiveness fully on display as we walk with God, hear Jesus' words, and are baptized by the Holy Spirit? Are we modeling a two-way street of forgiveness to the church, to the world, to our loved ones, and to even ourselves? Is our burden light with Jesus? I wore a t-shirt at one time that said, "The heaviest thing to carry is a grudge." We don't need to carry it because Jesus has lifted it off our shoulders, friends. I love what theologian Caroline Lewis says. When it seems others are getting away with wrongdoings, we struggle with the injustice of it all. But with God's mercy at work in our hearts and the hearts of others, we can forgive as he's forgiven us and receive the blessings he's prepared for us. So friends, there's two things in my mind as we interact with each other to consider when it comes to forgiveness. And they're very short points. It's not easy, but what peace it brings. First, it's not easy. In some ways, forgiveness can be a lifelong journey. It's not perfect, but Jesus uses this parable in my mind to remind us of the ideal, the quality for which we should strive. When we deal with others amidst our imperfections and our sins, we must forgive as the Lord forgives us. That doesn't mean it'll be easy. No one and nowhere. No one said it, and nowhere does Jesus say it. And furthermore, instant forgiveness won't always happen, if at all. But we should, as we prepare to join God and come before him later in heaven, model an attitude of forgiveness, because God will deal with us then based on the way we deal with people now. So it's not easy, but there it is. And the second point, what peace it brings. When it comes to forgiveness, we must carry the peace from God in our hearts to say, this is not, in the end, a big deal. It's not. I couldn't care less if one of you root for the Dallas Cowboys. Even though I'm an Eagles fan, I might think about it for the next 16 weeks. No, I won't. And for those of you Ravens and Steelers fans, don't hold it against each other. Not even a thought. It doesn't exist or matter who you root for. Friends, the fact someone owes you money, an apology, hurts us deeply. Is it worth cutting them off? does it make the feeling any better? How is that creating a deeper family of God? Let's turn it around. If God said, every time we make a mistake or sin or hurt someone, what if he said, I'll cut you off? We don't deserve other chances. We should just be thrown away. How would we feel? Friends, even though we wither like grass, God's grace still garnishes us every day with his goodness by and through his grace and glory. His mercy not only follows us all the days of our lives, but his love endures forever and his faithfulness continues through all generations. I love the psalmist's words in both cases. Wouldn't it be wonderful if churches everywhere, all Christians adopted such a mentality? If mercy defined our very actions? If love endured through all generations of our living and debts never had to be repaid, with love being the only cost? If people said, you know, when you go to church, you aren't going to just be loved, but even if you've got a rough past or you might struggle still, that family will be there for you, no questions asked. They've got your back. You'll be forgiven and shown continually the mercy of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just opened our hearts to people who just didn't care about the church or the gospel and showed them our love and grace anyway from Jesus? Wouldn't it be awesome if we just said, okay, people have their opinions, but I love them no matter what. I love at Black Rock Church of the Brethren, friends, we seem to be able to do those things quite well. But it's always good to remind ourselves of the words of Jesus. You won't be shown mercy if you don't show it to other people. This is how our Heavenly Father will treat each of us, unless forgiveness is the rule for our brother and sister from our heart. And we don't have to justify it or not justify it to other people. God will know whether we forgive or don't. God will cut us off or somehow not bless us if we can't show blessing to others. So, my dear friends, if you wonder whether it's in vain loving someone who you don't think deserves it or who others don't think deserves it, it's not. If you wonder whether it's worth being with people who just take and don't seem to correct their behavior and don't give back at all, are they worth something? You betcha they are. If we wonder, is it worth ministering and being the church to and in a world where it seems most will be lost and few might be found, and many won't even care about the church? Is it worth our effort? Jesus says, you better believe it is. Because it's not about what happens between us and other people. It's about what happens between us and God. Forgiveness indeed is a two-way street. Oh, that doesn't mean it won't hurt us. Where it's not easy, but what healing, what peace it brings in the long run. You notice Jesus never says, and I had to touch on this, forgiveness takes care of it all. And he does, though, in his life and ministry, make no bones about this, a lack of forgiveness makes things so much worse for others and for you and I. Because the servant showed no mercy to the second servant. And what happened to that first servant? The master couldn't show him mercy either. He had him handed over to the jailers. And worse, he had him tortured forever. My friends, do we want to live in torture ourselves or others? Do we want to have them live in torture? Do we want God to leave us or anywhere else so that's all that's left is torment, emptiness? If we show forgiveness, full forgiveness from our hearts, then and only then can we come close to God and feel his peace and grace through us as we follow Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is not about what somebody else does. It's about what you and I do in reacting, not to what's happened, but to God's love for all of us, his chosen, his children. Forgiveness doesn't bring sometimes a great resolution, but something great might be resolved in you and me. And what a burden might be lifted. As we remember, it's a two-way street, forgiving as the Lord forgives us. Let's show his love where we can, while we can, with what we have, dear friends. And just maybe, when we come home to God at last, even if on this earth it's not easy, we'll finally realize what peace it brings. It was all worth it. After all, it's not about what's between us and others. It's about what's between us and God anyway. Shall we close hearing the familiar words of Mother Teresa?